Welcome back, everybody, off to the races here on a Saturday morning, the 9th of March. Appreciate your spending some time with us. And our first guest coming up right now is the Chief Operating Officer of the Stronach Group, Tim Ritvo. He oversees racing operations at some of America's most important racetracks, including Gulfstream Park, Santa Anita, closer to home, Laurel and Pimlico. Tim, welcome to the program. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you making a little bit of time. I know you got a lot going on, so we'll kind of dive right into it. And I want to start, obviously, the track that's been sort of making a lot of national news over the last several days has been Santa Anita Park, where you guys made the decision to shut down racing to try to get a handle on the equine fatality situation. Can you tell us where we stand on Santa Anita, where you guys are sort of in process?
Yeah, we've been out here with pretty much a crisis team. I mean, we've had a rash of unfortunate breakdowns. We've done a complete, extensive review of the racetrack. Everything seems to be within order. We've brought in Dr. McPeterson from Kentucky. We brought Dennis Moore back, who retired earlier this year. Soil analysis, thumping, testing of the base, and everything seems to be in order. We're still a couple days away from opening up the main track. But we haven't found anything significant. We're studying the past history of the horses, and if anything was similar. We have had 16 inches of rain out here. As you guys know, in the Mid-Atlantic, you got a lot of rain and snow, but out here, they're not used to it. It's kind of the desert. And when something like this happens, it's been 16 inches compared to like 1.5 a year before last couple of years. So, we think a lot of it has been attributed to the sealed racetracks and the hardness of them. But nevertheless, we're taking every precautionary measure. And the horsemen and the CHRB have all been very cooperative in trying to figure out, how do we prevent this going forward and, making sure we did everything we could to understand the situation. And that's where we're at now.
It sounds like you're really, and we had this issue in Maryland a few years ago. They had it in Aqueduct a couple of years before that. A lot of times there's no smoking gun, and it seems like that's kind of where you're getting here, that it may be the sort of confluence of a lot of different and unfortunate factors.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing is pointed to one single thing. There's lots of little things, but nothing really, conclusive. The base was intact. The content of the moisture, the track is good. The horses are all different ages, basically, different parts of the track. So we just think it's a bad rash. We think, obviously the rain had some contribution to it because we have to, because it's, we had so much of it, and we sailed the track and ran over a lot of sail tracks and trained over sail tracks, and horses out here aren't as used to it as they are in other locations. So, and you're right. It's happened at Del Mar. It's happened at Churchill. It's happened in New York. I mean, it's sometimes these things. But we're living in an era today where we have to be more conscious and really be on top of it. And try to be proactive. So that's what we're doing here. We're implementing some new procedures. And anyways, that's where we're at. Hopefully we'll be back to what I call the new normal, because not sure if it'll ever be normal again.
Yeah, certainly that's true. What, do we have a sense yet of when live racing may return to Santa Anita?
Our goal, and it's all subject to change, would be a week from Friday. In other words, we plan on opening the main track on Monday for light training. And if a couple of days of light training, then allow people to start breezing again. So that will give, we want to make sure we give the horses enough time to get back into shape, loosen up. And training track's been open for the last couple of days, no incidents. Now we'll open up the big track. If we have no incidents, we'll let people breeze. And if they breeze well and come back good, then we'll start running the following week, which would be the 22nd.
Okay. Okay. Good. Talking with Tim Ridfo, COO of the Stronach Group here. Tim, let's turn a little closer to home for our program and turn to your tracks in Maryland. And there's been a lot of talk about what's been going on. There are sort of competing bills, if you will, in the state legislature. And I want to actually spin ahead a few years. If things go the way the Stronach Group hopes they go, you know, the legislation that you want passes, that, you know, you're able to do the things you hope to do, what does Maryland racing look like in 3, 4, 5 years?
Yeah, so first, I don't believe they're competing bills, but anyways, we'll touch on that.
But, we'll talk about that.
For sure. They're going ahead. I think Maryland racing is going to be spectacular. If we get to do the things we want to do, which is build a super track that can host the Breeders' Cup, you know, obviously we already have a great race, the Preakness, right, 140-something years. But if we can add to that with an international, bringing back an international and having the Maryland Millions, if you could imagine having four of those huge events in a new facility with the first-class amenities and then all the added elements around it, I think it becomes a Gulfstream on steroids. It becomes, you know, we go to another level. Because Gulfstream, you know, is a great facility and it's a great year-round facility, but it lacks, we have the Pegasus there, but there's 15,000 people. It lacks that big punch. And, you know, the tracks in Maryland, whether it's the Preakness where it's at now today or whether it's Laurel in the future, Maryland can have that. But the consolidation of seeing one super track with a great training center will make, like, Santa Anita to St. Louis Ray, Gulfstream Park to Palm Meadows, and you'll have Laurel to Bowie. And, you know, that kind of puts your whole package together. So, I mean, listen, we've been, you know, about 5 years now on a new trajectory in Maryland. Things are going good with the Pratt Mutual Handler. You've seen the renovations yourself firsthand. And I just think we just got started. We got to really put a capital, you know, finish on this thing. And we're almost there. If we can get this Medco bill passed, that would give us the authority to basically do a deal with approval from the Racing Commission, get a Medco bond, and finish this thing up.
Ed, Tim, what you guys talk about a super track, and I think I know what it is, but define that for me. What's Laurel going to be when it's a super track? How is it different from what it is today?
People ask about the term, right? So the idea of super track, and that's just a term, right? But it's a track that is one of the three best in the country. It's a track that people talk about everywhere. It's a multi-purpose entertainment complex, right? It's great for racing, but it's also great for entertainment at night after the races are over. And it offers, you know, the ability to host a Breeders' Cup, but also have trade shows when racing's not going on, and then restaurants and stuff like that. So we look at it as a multi-entertainment facility with a lot of, you know, a lot of action, so that people can come there and enjoy a day, whether they're coming to watch racing or just coming to learn about it, and bet on it. And, you know, just, we just want to be able to mix the families together, the husbands, wives, the kids, where they can all come and have a multi-purpose, use of the building. So that's kind of where we're at.
So, obviously, you're saying, so we have a super track at Laurel. You've got a first-class training facility at Bowie. That's what the future looks like if you can spin it together a few years. Obviously, I mean, a question that has been on the minds of a lot of people is, you know, sort of whither Pimlico. And so, I guess my first question is, what is the thought process? I mean, I think if you go back 10 years and people would say, if somebody had said, well, only one of Laurel and Pimlico is going to survive, everybody would have said, well, Pimlico, obviously. What's your all's thought process that has made you decide Laurel is the place to be and not Pimlico?
Yeah, so first, right, when we talk about the bills, I just think it's important, the opposing bills. The mayor's bill is to study Pimlico and Preakness, and we respect that. And we've said we haven't come out and opposed it, and we sat through informational. So we think it's separate. And then our bill is to basically say, allow us to fund RFRA money with matching dollars, none of the state money that isn't already earmarked, into this super track at Laurel. And then that's kind of how we see it. So we think, if both bills pass, we're fine with that and continue to look. What we're saying as a company, it only makes sense for us to invest into one super facility that can do everything. But if the state and city feel strong enough that they believe it has to stay on this hallowed ground and it has to be at this facility, then we're saying if you build it, we can figure a way around it. We just don't know how you do that for four times the price of what we think we can do with Bowie and Laurel and use taxpayers' dollars. I don't want to ask the state for more or any money more than what is already earmarked for racing. So that's how we look at it. And we looked at Pimlico and we looked at Laurel. So this gets back to the context of your question, and years ago. And, you know, the reason, at first we thought, okay, maybe we go to Pimlico, have the year-round racing there. We could always develop the Laurel property. It has a train station. It's 300 acres. Well, then all of the reasons that we wanted to develop Laurel were the reasons that the track should be there is because there's a train station that runs through the property, that there's 300 acres so that we can build onto that and other things. A lot of the things that they want to do with Pimlico that just won't work the same because of the train station ability, transportation, because of the centralized location of Laurel where you have, can pull from a bunch of different airports. So, you know, the bottom line is that's what we did. And then what we did is we engaged a study that we'll be releasing soon by Sage Group. Annabelle Bazoo, and that study basically says Baltimore won't lose out. Now, I know they don't want to hear that, but from an economic standpoint, people will stay in Baltimore. Supposedly, due to study, it's like 19 minutes from the Inner Harbor to Pimlico, and it's like 26 minutes from the Inner Harbor to Laurel. So, you know, we just don't think it's going to be the effect that they think it is. But anyways, with all that said, we're saying the Metco bill only allows us to build out Laurel. It doesn't say what happens to Pimlico. And if the state and the city has the wherewithal to find a way to fund the Metco, and we'll work with them as a landowner, then we'll look at it. But then we'll also think that they should look at alternative purposes for that property in the study. They should say, you know what? What else can go here that might be more useful than a racetrack there? Because a racetrack really hasn't helped the community over the last 140 years. And they will say, or maybe blame it on us, but we know that it's a bigger picture than us or even them. So that's kind of long-winded answer, but that's the answer.
No, we like long-winded answers. This is radio, so you know, long-winded fills up the air, so that's good. But I want to drill in and sort of pull out a couple elements of what you just said because I think they're very important to be very clear on. So I guess the first is what I hear you saying is the Stronach Group is going to put all its eggs in the Laurel basket. You guys are not putting money into Pimlico. Is that correct?
That's right. From a business perspective, now, it's not totally correct because what we're saying, as a racetrack, we're not investing in both facilities. It doesn't make business sense for us. Now, would we invest in, we will not leave that land empty. We would figure out what is in the best interest with the community and the leaders, the city leaders, what is in the best interest of that land, and we will invest in the health and well-being of that city, okay, whether it's land or whether it's cash and some investment in development, we would invest. We just won't invest in two racetracks. That doesn't make good business sense for us.
Now, but I think you also said, and I want to also just pull this out. If by some miracle, and this would be like the loaves and fishes miracle, if the city of Baltimore, the state of Maryland, somehow come up with, $400 million to do the ideal Pimlico and keep the Preakness at this new ideal Pimlico, are you guys okay with that? Would you guys
Yeah,
not
yes.
financially,
I
but
mean,
participate?
so we would participate for sure. Obviously, we'd love, it's our property still. We would participate for sure. And if that was the will of the state and the city and they could pull it off, then we would have to definitely consider it. And it would be, listen, we would get the best of both worlds, right? We'd get a brand new facility at Pimlico. We still think, and this is important, Frank, I mean, that would be a great gift in a way. We still believe that it may not be in the best interest of Maryland racing. Why? Is because when you have this national event like the Preakness and everybody comes from all over the country, they're going to go to Pimlico, which is the new track, and it's going to be cool, but they don't see what you have to have, what you have to offer in Maryland with Laurel. And one of my biggest things is, how do I grow 200 or 250 days of racing? Well, you need owners and you need trainers that say Maryland's the place to be. Now, I'm not saying we wouldn't be able to do it. It just gets a little bit harder because on that big day, it's great to have owners and trainers say, wow, this is a cool place. I'm going to leave some horses with a trainer or two here. So that's all I'm going to say to that. But if it was, if there was the will of the people and they could find the funding, then yeah, of course we would be crazy to pass that up.
All right, we're gonna
I'm
have
not
to
asking for it though. I don't want it to
understood.
say, hey, we're asking for it and we're holding up the state for it. We're saying we could be just fine in Laurel without any money over and above what's already earmarked for racing.
Okay, perfect. We're gonna have to leave it there, but Tim, thanks so much for spending some of the Saturday morning with us. We appreciate you sharing all your insights and all your thoughts as to what's going on.
No problem. Thank you guys for all you do for racing. Take care.
Oh.